All right. Good morning.
Morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Oh,
for those of you at home, we're glad to have you joining in with us this morning. I switched from my personal page to the Lexington Christian Church page, so I hope everybody can find it this morning. But I think last week a lot of people had trouble finding it because it was under my personal page. So hopefully folks will find it and be able to join in. All right. Well, as we get started this morning, last week we asked for birthdays. Is there anybody here that has a birthday this past week, had a birthday this past week? Okay, we had some folks that contacted us, and there were like three birthdays. My brother-in-law, Samantha, Dolores Scroggins, thank you. And let's see, who else? There was somebody else. I don't remember. Sorry. If anybody else has had a birthday out there this week, we're going to sing for you too. So let's sing Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, now I don't know, I didn't hear about any anniversaries. Anybody here have an anniversary? So, folks, if you had an anniversary this past week, you got one coming up this week, contact me and we'll sing happy anniversary for you next Sunday morning. All right, our memory verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So thank God for that, Romans 8:1. All right, and now it's time for our opening song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
Sounding time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder.
Cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll
labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder.
Amen. All right, I like that music. Not sure who that was, but Brother Mark picked that background music for us, and we appreciate it. All right. Now I'm going to ask our brother to come and to share with us of a communion meditation. Brother John. You want to come up here so the folks can see you?
Why we do this. During every weekend service, we provide you with a piece of bread and a cup of juice and about 5 minutes of quiet time to reflect and pray. The Bible refers to this part of our worship as the Lord's Supper, and it is such an important component in our goal to honor God that we very much want you to understand the significance of what happens during this brief time each week. Perhaps your first question is, why do we do this? The answer to that one is pretty simple. We incorporate the Lord's Supper into our worship because Jesus instructed us to do so. Amen. He is our Lord, and it is an objective to joyfully follow his leadership. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus knew what was about to take place. He was sharing a special meal with his 12 disciples. We read in Luke 22:17-20 that he took the bread and referred to it as his body, and he took the cup of juice and referred to it as his blood. Then he asked his disciples to do this as a way of remembering him. The next day, Jesus was crucified. His body was nailed to the cross, and his blood flowed from his hands, his feet, his head, and his side. In remembrance of me is a key phrase in our study of the Lord's Supper. All of us have known that nagging feeling of having forgotten something important. We just know we forget to turn off that burner, or what that sinking feeling as the officer comes to the accident scene that we have forgotten to renew our driver's license. In Jesus' wisdom, he left us a memorial that would make it difficult for us to forget that he went to the cross and sacrificed his body and his blood. Amen. So that our sins could be forgiven. In the big scheme of things, from the perspective of eternity, our commitment to Jesus is one thing we simply cannot afford to forget. This is why the first century church celebrated the Lord's Supper every week, and why we make sure that you have an ample opportunity to remember the most pivotal event in God's plan to save us. In addition to remembering the Bible, it also says that when we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is for believers, but in celebrating it, the Bible is saying that we are also appealing to those who have not yet accepted Christ our Savior, the Lord. For those of you who are just beginning to learn about Jesus, this part of our worship is designed to draw you toward him. We can have great sermons, inspirational music, wonderful fellowship, and friendliness, but our best opportunity to persuade you that Jesus is Lord of all is regularly bringing you face to face with the perfect Son of God, who is so invested in wanting you to have an abundant life that he died for you. I know that it is not easy for us to look at death. We tend to look away, but as we center this quiet time, I would ask you to simply spend a few minutes thinking about the body and blood of Jesus. Look into his eyes and listen to the appeal he is making to you through his supper. And for those who have made that decision, take time to remember the joy of being invited to his table today for a celebration of your salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wisdom in giving us such a simple yet profound way to remember that you so love the world that you gave your only Son, that if we believe in him, we will not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, draw us to you by allowing us to look into the eyes of Jesus today and to behold his incredible sacrifice for us. May many decisions be made today because people are convinced that you are the one who sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John Klemek. He didn't know he was going to be called upon today to do that, so he stepped up. Thank you. I appreciate that. And now, for those of us that are here, we have our little communion individual communion cups. And for those of you at home, hopefully you have some crackers and or some juice, and you can join along with us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We'll move on to our next song, Shout to the Lord.
I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love.
My comfort, my shelter, my tower
of refuge and strength,
with
every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you,
Lord of the earth.
Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So grateful for the opportunity that we have to share with even these different songs that we don't normally get to have in our service. So we're thankful that we have electronics to help us through these times when folks can't get out. I do want to recognize there are several folks that have posted that they are watching. Thank you. It's good to know that you are here with us through Facebook. And now we have a special, and Sister Renee is going to sing a special for us. So, Renee, come on up.
The song is called 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord.
Sister Renee. Wow. That was beautiful. All right. Now, we're going to read some scripture, and I will deliver my message, and we'll move on. Praise God. I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, the first 14 chapters, or first 14 verses, rather. If anybody wants to follow along. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now, this is Palm Sunday. And so as we are seeing that as we move in the direction of Easter, the direction towards the time of his death, here we see one of the times when the leaders, the religious leaders of that day, were actually plotting and scheming to kill Jesus. This was already in the works because they disagreed with the way that he said things, with the way that he did things, and they were very jealous of his following. So here we see that, first of all, he and his disciples are walking through a grain field, and as they go along, they're hungry, and so they just grab some of the kernels off, and you know, they rub them to get some of the dirt and the chaff away from it, and they just pop them in their mouth and eat them. No big deal, right? I mean, does anybody besides me eat on Sunday? I mean, come on, folks. We get hungry, we eat. This was the Sabbath, which was Saturday. It was, the last day of the week instead of the first day of the week here. But nonetheless, the principle is the same because it's supposed to be a day set aside for worship and for praise of God and a time of rest for us. So God put that in place so that we would have a day that we could take to rest. He wanted us to rest. He knows that our bodies require a day where we can rest and relax. But it wasn't just a day for relaxation and for fun. It was a day of worship. We could also combine our rest and our worship of Him together. And so during the time that the children of Israel were in bondage, they started to worship in the synagogue instead of in the more traditional temple. And they also then started coming up with rules and regulations that they added to the Ten Commandments, ways of defining those laws, ways of making sure that everyone could understand what they should and should not, could and could not do on the Sabbath. And the scribes and the Pharisees prided themselves in keeping all of those laws. And of course, if it turned out they didn't keep one, they just wrote one to make sure that they were keeping it. sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? So, in this particular case, here Jesus, the Son of God, is with His disciples. And they accuse Him and His disciples, His followers, of not keeping the Sabbath. I mean, come on. Think about how ridiculous that is. But Jesus slaps them in the face right away, because when He says, "Have you not read?" I mean, that's like a kindergartner walking up to a theologian that has, you know, like 3 degrees in Bible scripture and saying, "Haven't you ever read in the Bible what it says?" I mean, come on. So these guys thought they knew more than anybody, even Jesus. And that's the bottom line here. They were so proud of themselves. They were so proud of what they were, what their authority was, that Jesus challenged that authority, and they did not like it. They didn't like it at all. So every time they could find any reason at all to chastise Him, they took it. Here they took it, and again, it backfired. Every time they chastise Jesus, it gets right back on him. You know, it just, he turns it around every time. And here is no exception to that. He slaps them in the face. "Haven't you ever read what David did and what the priests do?" You know, they work by doing the worship service. They work by making the sacrifices on the Sabbath. And yet they're innocent, David and his men, because they had kept themselves pure. That is, they had not had sexual relations with women, and they had not done any other major sins. Because of that, the priest allowed them to take that holy bread, the showbread, and to have that and eat it. And he's saying that wasn't really lawful, because that was only for the priest. But yet, there was no sin in that. Then he says this, "I desire," if you had known what these words mean, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent." So, you know, here they are using the law as a weapon to try to have a reason to condemn Christ and His followers, rather than allowing the law to be interpreted in a graceful way. They were very strict in their way of legalism. And that's all it was, just a form of legalism. And it's sad that many people still have that same legalistic idea that God is always looking for a reason to get you. God is always looking to just condemn you. No, no, no. God loves you. God is not looking for a reason to get you. God is looking for a reason to bless you. He wants us to receive all of His goodness. And when we allow ourselves to be to be duped by the devil and listen to all that negativity. When we listen to, oh, you know, God's going to get you for that. Yeah, I slipped and said a potty word. Well, now what? Am I going to hell? No. We sin. We're sinners. That's why Christ came and died. And that's why he goes on here to say, for I am the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath, the day of worship and rest, was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. We weren't made just to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made so that we would have a day set aside that we could worship and rest. God wanted it to be a blessing. He didn't want it to be everybody walking around like they're walking on needles, you know, trying not to get stuck. He didn't want us to be afraid. He didn't want us to worry that every little thing we do might be a sin. No, he wanted us to enjoy it. Just like the songs we sang this morning. You know, those songs are filled with joy. Those songs are filled with hope and love. And then after that, Jesus goes on a little further. And here these same religious leaders of the day are probably walking along with him. And he goes right into their synagogue. And the man with a shriveled hand was there. You know, he's all messed up here. He's got his arm drawn back. And this is a setup, okay? This is purely a setup because normally those scribes and Pharisees wouldn't be found near a man that had a problem like this. They just wouldn't go close to him. He's a sinner. That's why he's got this shriveled up hands. So they'd stay away from him. But in this case, they have him here at the synagogue, just wanting to see what Jesus would do. They set him up to try to find again another reason to condemn him instead of listening to him. Can you say hard heart? Sure you can. So here, you know, they ask this question then, after they set this situation up, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? We know they many times condemned Christ for healing, for doing good on the Sabbath. They wanted to condemn him for it. And so here is his answer. If any of you have a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being, a man, than an animal, a sheep? Even in that day, they had people who thought more of animals than they did people. Imagine that. And this is a poor way of looking at things. It's an evil way of looking at things. Satan wants us to think more of our animals than of our fellow man. Have you ever seen a hat or a shirt or a sign somewhere that says, the more I'm around people, the more I love my dog? I mean, I understand the sentiment in there. The dog never talks back. The dog doesn't argue. Well, not that much anyway. But, the point is made. But that's not what God's view is. God wants us to learn to get along with our fellow man. He wants us to learn to forgive, to overlook when we have disagreements, to learn to be able to disagree and still love each other. Imagine that. If only couples would learn that, there would be a lot less divorce. And so, Jesus tells them, this is a good deed. This is a good work, and it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Can you imagine if you were in Israel and on the Sabbath you're driving a car and it breaks down and nobody will even stop to help you because they don't want to break the Sabbath law? Now, I don't know, I assume it's still to this day, but I remember Brother Joe McKay went to Israel. And when he came back, he shared some of the highlights of his trip. And when he went, that was, I think, back in the 90s. There was even the elevators, he said, in the motels on the Sabbath. They're automatically set to stop at every floor on the way up and every floor on the way down because it's illegal to push a button on the Sabbath. That is considered work. So that mindset is still in the world today. It's still here, folks. And it's not just in Israel. It's right here in America. It's right here in the churches. There are people who feel like, you know, you got to do certain things on the Lord's Day, and you can't do anything else. You're not supposed to get out and cut your grass. You're not supposed, folks, the Lord is not concerned whether we go out and cut our grass on the Sabbath or not, because if it's the only time we have to do it, he wants us to cut our grass, okay? He wants us to use that, especially since some people find mowing their grass as relaxing. And it's a great time to worship the Lord while you're out mowing. Anybody besides me ever experienced that? While you're out mowing, it's a great time to worship the Lord. He doesn't want us to miss church to do it. But if as long as we are still keeping up our worship, it's okay. It's okay. You know, there was a time in this country when they had the blue law, when everything was pretty much closed on the Lord's Day. So if you wanted to eat, you had to cook. But some people thought you couldn't cook. So they either ate bologna or they cooked on Saturday, preparation day. And all of that's okay because Paul tells us in another place in the Bible that one person finds one day, worships one day, finds one day above others. Other people find it all days are the same and on it goes. But the point is that as long as we are worshiping God, as long as we are not being disobedient or disrespectful to God, then we're still in His will and we're still in His grace. Now, if you start to do something and that voice inside of you says, no, and you do it anyway, you've committed a sin. But if you start to do it and that doesn't happen, then you're probably okay. We need to be in prayer and we need to be worshipful and mindful of the Lord at all times, listening to that still small voice from the Holy Spirit to speak to us and tell us if and when we should do something differently than what we have planned. And if we hear that voice, and we know it's the Lord, then we need to change our plans according to what He says. So, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, the day that's made for us to rest and worship and enjoy, not to be critical, not to criticize and condemn each other, not to fear, but to feel His presence, His grace, and His love. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Thank You, Jesus, for going to the cross and paying a debt that we could not pay to receive a reward that we could never earn. Thank You, Father, that we can worship, even through electronics, we can worship together as a family, as a church, as a kingdom. Lord, I ask You to bless each one that's listening. Bless those who couldn't listen or couldn't be here for whatever reason. and perhaps they'll be able to pick it up later. Lord, if there's one out there who's heard this message and has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, I pray that right now you will touch their heart, that you will help them to confess their sins, to repent of their sins, to turn away from their sinfulness, to turn to you, and to accept Jesus, believe in him as the Savior, the Son of God, put their faith in him wholeheartedly, seek out his will for their life through your word, and obey you. Lord, bless us all. In Jesus' name. Brother Mark, do we have one more song? Can you bring it up? Shine, Jesus, shine.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, free by the truth you now bring us, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine.
Lord, the nations. next week.